Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We love those guys at TriStar Moving. They take great care of us. J.J. Watt signs with Arizona, 2 years, $31 million, 23 of it guaranteed. How guaranteed is it? I don't know. And I sat there with a lot of Titan fans, and I would agree. I would not have paid J.J. Watt $15.5 million a year. I didn't even think that was really an option. Last week, Diana Russini, ESPN, to her credit, Diana Russini reported that she heard J.J. had an offer between $15 and $16 million. And now that we know how much J.J. signed for, I feel in my heart as if J.J. was taking a megaphone to all the teams out there that are legitimate contenders. Arizona, in my opinion, is not one of them. J.J. was taking his megaphone and was saying, "Hey, contenders, they're going to pay me a ton of money, so you need to pay me a lot of money too." And all the teams said, "Hey, we like you, but we don't like you that much." And then ultimately he chose Arizona. Now, I think the Titans did the right thing. This is not like the Clowney situation where I dogged them as soon as they did it. This is not the Vic Beasley thing where you can look back to it and you can say, man, how did they miss on that? This, I am for it. I am not knocking the Titans whatsoever. I see a bunch of the texts into the text line that are saying, hey, J.J. Watt's going to get hurt. Hey, J.J. Watt's not worth that money. I agree. I agree J.J. is not worth it. But John McClain, Houston Chronicle, he was on NFL Network today. And he was asked the question. This is the one thing I kept telling people when I kept getting giddy for the idea of the Titans signing J.J., which I do think there's a lot they're not getting by not signing J.J. Watt. Now, I wouldn't pay that kind of money. But John McClain was asked if J.J. can be the player that he was in the past, or that J.J., whether or not he still has something in the tank. And I will say this. If John McClain is right, then the Titans and J.J. performs, then the Titans did swing and miss if they could have had him. This is what John McClain said.
Absolutely. I've watched every snap of his career. I know how hard he works. And those two seasons that he missed a lot of games because of back injury and a broken leg, he came back and had 16 sacks and played every game in 2018 when he had Jadeveon Clowney on the other side. There's no doubt in my mind that he can come back, get double-digit sacks, because he's had nobody opposite him who even remotely draws attention from the opponents since Bill O'Brien traded Clowney to Seattle.
Okay, if J.J. Watt is that same player, if John McClain's right, and as we all know, John McClain has the cred, if John McClain is right and J.J. Watt is that kind of player this year, I mean, double-digit sacks, 13, 14, that kind of thing, and the Titans give a little bit less money to, but get absolutely no results out of somebody else. And I'm not even, I mean, I would say Romeo Okwara, you know, just throw a name out there. But I don't know if Romeo Okwara would be a good fit or a bad fit, or I don't know enough about him. I mean, I know he can fit the system. I know he's gotten some sacks in his career. That's about it. But if the Titans pay a little bit less money and J.J. goes to Arizona and dominates and is the J.J. of old, the 2015 J.J., the 2014 J.J., the 2012 J.J., then the Titans will have gotten it wrong. And we will have all gotten it wrong. At least me and everybody else who would say, hey, J.J.'s not worth that kind of money. And we'd have to say we got it wrong. And I would say that we got it wrong. But where I sit today, the risk factor on J.J. Watt, on not being able to really trust that he can hold up for 16 games, the risk factor of he plays hard, he's clearly got, you know, tools in the toolbox to be successful, but he's not an every down player in his career anymore. That makes it too hard. It's too rich for my blood to be able to pay him that kind of money. I just can't take that risk. Everything in life is about risk. I got criticized. I spent all summer, you know, no offense, but summer sports talk is what it is to begin with. Although here, I'd like to say we keep it live and we keep it hopping because we, you know, there's always big stories and whatever. But when you're 5 months in the middle of a pandemic where there's 5 months of no sports, which is what we went through a year ago, and as a sports talk show host, I hope we never go through this again. But there's some opportunity for some vacation time and to go somewhere and to do some things. And last year, I was going to go to Florida, you know, but the virus, and we didn't know as much about the virus as we do now, and the virus was just surging. And I took a week off, and I stayed at home, and I did nothing. And it's like, oh, I could have gone somewhere. I could have. Well, 2 months ago, I had COVID, so now I'm going to Puerto Rico. You know, it's like it's totally different, one or the other, because now the risk factor, the risk for me, is practically zero, if not absolutely 100% zero. So to me, I do take risks. I don't take a ton of them. I'm not crazy about taking risks. I'm not someone who just throws money into the middle and says, let's go. But the JJ thing at this price, at $10 million, everything's a risk in the NFL. But at $10 million, that's a risk I'm comfortable with. 15 and a half, even if John McClain's right, And he says the injuries are not a big deal, and he says JJ's still a double sack guy, and the risk is just, it's too much for me at that price point. To Teron Davenport's point that he made in the last segment, Arizona is the kind of organization that has to pay to get somebody to go there. Texter into the text line, which is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, Jared, you're funny, man. You're calling other organizations garbage and then trying to act like free agents are clamoring to come to the Tennessee. You're delusional at best, and the homerism is laughable. That comes from Jeff. Let me say this, Jeff. I don't think anybody would say that Jared Stillman is a local homer. Now, there may be some angles where you get on me, and you say, you know, clearly I'm a fan of the teams I cover. But I don't think when we spent 2 hours on Friday discussing whether or not the hockey team should fire its general manager at the end of the year, or when I'm the one in the press conferences who asks questions to John Robinson like, what happened last offseason? Why was last offseason such a dud? How much focus have you done on that? When I'm the guy who asks Vrabel when he makes the quarterback switch why Mariota had regressed so much under him, I don't think you can point the finger and tell me that I don't keep it real with these teams. I don't think the Titans are number one on anybody's list, but the Titans do have stability in their organization. It is a respected organization. They have a quarterback. They have the best running back in the NFL. They need help on defense. I don't think that that's anything that isn't obvious. And you'd be shocked to know how many teams aren't that stable. So I do think the Titans are a place where people would want to go. It wouldn't be their first choice, but you live in a great city. All anybody ever talks about is how great this city is. Homes that were going for $500,000 2 years ago are going for $650,000 now in Nashville. That's all anybody ever talks about. You've got no state income tax. Your team went to the division last year. Two of the teams in the division are awful. The other team, Indianapolis, is banking all of its hopes on Carson Wentz. Tannehill's respected. Henry's respected. A.J. Brown's respected. There's a lot here that would make a free agent want to come here. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Back to your texts. Again, our phone lines are down. We are working on those, but as of right now, it's just a text line. 615-737-1025, so we'll get back to that. And then, what is the game plan now? Now that JJ's off the board, does that affect Robinson's game plan? We'll get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Stillman and Company, we're live from the wholesaling studio powered by RumbleOn.com. Let me tell you about my friends at TriStar Moving. My most recent experience with moving. I hate moving. Now, everybody hates moving. And I certainly am at the top of the list of people that hate moving. But not when you've got friends like I do at TriStar Moving. At TriStar Moving, you'll get five-star service throughout the entire process. And that's why their motto is TriStar Moving with five-star service. They did a great job when they moved me. It's funny, I've had a couple of friends that have reached out and said, hey, is the TriStar Moving thing for real? And I'm like, yes. In fact, one friend I talked to Friday night, he said he used TriStar Moving for two moves. He moved his dad, he moved somebody else. He said, I can't stop using them. He's like, the bang for the buck, the quality of service you get with TriStar Moving. He's like, I can't. There's no way I can do it. One of our other buddies was like, oh, I'm definitely going to use them. Not because I'm promoting it, but because our buddy that used it had such a great experience using them multiple times. These guys that own this company, Garrett and Robert, they are as down to earth, caring about you, because it's a relatively young company. They want this thing to be so successful that every single person goes, boy, I had a great experience with TriStar Moving. I wouldn't use anybody else. That's how much I love TriStar Moving. If you're looking to move, give them a call, 615-640-1219, or visit their website, nashvillemoving.org/radio. They will give you 5% off your entire move. TriStar Moving, nashvillemoving.org/radio. Tell them Jared Stillman sent you. They are my official movers.
Mark Ross, this is happening. You team them with Chandler Jones in a very competitive NFC West.
Well, I think the Cardinals are hoping for not just J.J. Watt's play, but his leadership and the hope he gives them, showing them that those young guys how to work, teaming him with Chandler Jones, giving them that formidable front. But I don't think at this stage in his career, J.J. Watt is that sort of transcendent player on the field. It will be more of his aura, and the Cardinals are looking at the Seahawks, and the Russell Wilson situation is tenuous there. San Francisco, who knows what's going on with their quarterback situation. The Rams are in a state of flux, although Stafford's there now, and they're looking at this as their opportunity.
That was Mark Ross saying, hey, Arizona thinks maybe J.J. can put him over the top, but he doesn't feel that way. Texter into our text line says, why are you bashing Arizona and not talking about the Preds or Titans or UT basketball? Who cares about Arizona? J.J. did not come here because of the Titans' defensive coordinator. I don't know where he's getting that from. I talked to somebody connected to J.J. today who said good things about Shane Bowen. Let me say this. I am as much against Shane Bowen as anybody else that you can. I mean, I thought it was a terrible decision. I think Vrabel, the way he handled the entire Shane Bowen situation, was poorly done. Vrabel thought, I'm going to do what Belichick does. I'm going to promote a guy without promoting a guy, and then make him prove that he's earned it, then give him the title, and yay. And don't ask me any different, because I'm Mike Vrabel and you're not, and I know better. And then it absolutely blew up in his face when the defense was horrible. And so then the whole story and the narrative became, they don't have a defensive coordinator. So then, after that became the narrative, for whatever reason, after the season was over, Vrabel raises his hand and says, you know, hey, that was kind of a mistake to do it that way. I don't know why it became the story, but it did. And Shane was the one who was basically the defensive coordinator, which I thought meant Shane Bowen was for sure not going to be the defensive coordinator. I thought it was somebody picking somebody, you know, picking Shane up and just throwing him under the bus because you had this horrible defensive season, and now you're telling us the guy was responsible, and then he names him defensive coordinator. It's a very unpopular move. The general manager asked about Shane, you know, in his press conference, talked about continuity. Certainly stopped short of endorsing the decision, which I thought was pretty telling. But I did talk to somebody connected with JJ's camp. I've talked to somebody, you know, I've talked to people in the know. And they like Shane Bowen. That doesn't mean they think Shane Bowen's a great coach, but they like Shane Bowen. So I don't think that Shane Bowen is why JJ didn't come here. I think it's pretty obvious why JJ didn't come here. It's because of the money. He got offered $15.5 million. But how much different in JJ's life, how much of a difference in his entire life, how much is that going to make at the end of the day? 15 and a half compared to 10. But I don't count another man's money. Chip in Mount Juliet says, being a cheesehead, I'm glad he went to Arizona. It proves he wanted the money. He could have gone for the ring in Green Bay, but he went for the money. I mean, to me, all of these places have said, you know, hey, we can't pay that kind of money. I think everybody would agree that this was not about chasing a ring. When this news first came out that he was being released by the Texans, it was all about chasing a ring. Then we heard JJ was interested in Cleveland because Cleveland had money. Then we heard Diana Russini report that JJ had an offer between $15 and $16 million on the table. And we kind of laughed at that, like $15 or $16 million on the table. Then we heard JJ was going to get all that money back, and we laughed. And now JJ's got the money. But, I mean, he's going to go 7-9 this year. Texter into the text line says, I'm so happy the Titans aren't chasing quarterbacks or paying ridiculous amounts of money to has-been pass rushers. I feel comfortable with J-Rob and what he's going to do. That comes from Andrew. And I would say this, the one thing you can't do in sports, and every now and then you will back yourself into a corner to where you simply do not have a choice. The Dallas Cowboys are there right now with Dak Prescott. The Indianapolis Colts were there right now with their quarterback position. But what you absolutely can't do is back yourself into a corner where you are overpaying and you know you're overpaying at the start. You can do it if you're not a very good team. Because if you're not a very good team like the Cleveland Browns, you have been in the past. You draft the guy in the first round. Corey Coleman. Remember when they drafted him? They had the number two pick of the draft, which ended up being Carson Wentz. And they ended up trading out a couple times, and they drafted Corey Coleman with the 15th pick. I think Corey Coleman was on a practice squad last year in the NFL. But that's the kind of player you draft. And he doesn't get a second contract. He's not even worth getting a second contract. You cut the guy, you move on. That's one less contract that you have to pay out. But if you don't hit on your first round draft choices, you're not going to be very good. If you don't hit on your first, your seconds, you know, that's where you lose in this league. So what you don't want to do is back yourself into a corner. Indianapolis was backed into a corner where they didn't have a choice. They had to give up the third round pick this year and what's most likely going to be a first next year. So really a first and a third to get Carson Wentz and take on the contract and deal with the headache in the hopes that he can turn it around for him, because they didn't really have another choice. The Titans, I think, are a little lucky. Now, this may not matter come playoff time. When you need more than 165 yards from Ryan Tannehill, you need more than 13 points, you need a game-winning drive. And he couldn't give it to you. But by paying Ryan Tannehill what they're paying him, which is, I think, $29.5 million a year, but as far as the cap is concerned, it's less than that, or at least it was the first 2 years, and then I think maybe it goes a little bit over that. That is at least one other player that in the future Baltimore won't have, because they'll have to pay Lamar Jackson about $40 million a year. That is in the future one player Buffalo won't have. That is in the future one player that Kansas City, when Mahomes' contract kicks in, that they won't have. Now, that one good player, Mahomes is probably good enough to make up for it. But around the league, it doesn't totally work like that. So I kind of agree with the texter. You can't be paying for has-been pass rushers, and you can't be paying, you know, a ridiculous amount of money or ridiculous amounts of draft picks to try and get guys to come in here to play quarterback, because you can't play quarterback. So you're just begging and hoping and just throwing a dart there and spending $40 million at the time you're doing it. That having been said, they did that last year with Jadeveon Clowney. That was what bringing in Clowney was. They overbought on something they knew wasn't going to be that productive. There's no way you could have thought Clowney was going to get you sacks. Now, you could argue that Clowney would have gotten you a lot more than what you thought you were going to get. That, I totally understand. Totally understand, totally agree with, fine. But there's no way you can argue to me that Clowney was worth the $12 million at the time. I said, that's too much money. People crushed me. So when you overspend and you don't receive, it is going to hurt you. It's going to keep you from winning. What you want to do is what Buffalo did with Stephon Diggs, which is we spent a lot of draft picks to get the guy. Well, what you want to do is what the Titans did with Tannehill. We spent a fourth round pick to get the guy and ended up in the AFC title game. But when you really spend, you want it to be Stephon Diggs. We spent a boatload to get the guy here, but he has made us an infinitely better football team. Chris Sanders will join us coming up next. His reaction to the J.J. Watt signing and where the Titans go from here. And what is the plan? Like, what is the plan for the Titans? Not just names, but where they're allocating money. We'll get into that coming up next. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. You know those are my guys. They take great care of my home, and I'm telling you, They so can take great care of your home. Just got to use them. I'm telling you. Hiller is giving away a free vacation for you and your family this month with every purchase of a new whole home generator. By the way, see what happened in Texas a couple weeks ago? Whole home generators are not bad ideas. With the purchase of a new whole home generator or select new HVAC systems, Hiller is giving you a free week-long vacation. With every purchase of a new tankless water heater, Hiller is giving you a free weekend-long vacation. And they'll pay for your gas with a $100 gift card. Choose from over 400 Marriott, Wyndham, Hilton, or Hyatt hotel properties. Take advantage of this unbelievable deal while you can. These deals are only available for a limited time, so make sure you schedule today. Visit happyhiller.com for all of the details. As always, happy you will be, or your service is free. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, proud supporters of the Vols and the Preds. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today. Stillman & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. The Titans are out, as is everybody else. The J.J. Watt sweepstakes. J.J. to Arizona. One of my friends sent me the Adam Schefter tweet when Schefter tweeted J.J. was going to Arizona, 2 years, $31 million, 23 guaranteed. And I wanted to make sure it wasn't a fake Adam Schefter account. I had to look for the blue check mark because I'm like, there's no way he's going to Arizona. But he is. And so the Titans are now looking at different pass rushers. I don't know how much the Titans wanted J.J. Watt. I know how much I wanted him, but not at $15.5 million. Chris Sanders joins us, former Titans receiver. Chris, your reaction to the money J.J. Watt just signed for, and your reaction to the Titans. I don't know if he would have picked the Titans over Arizona. I think he probably would have, but the fact that the Titans were not willing to go there.
You know, I mean, I agree with you. I wish the Tennessee Titans would have got him, not just because he was going to give us a whole bunch of sacks, just because of the leadership that he brings to this Tennessee Titans defense. And when I looked at the internet today, I mean, my mind was flabbergasted because I didn't even know Arizona was even in the mix of even getting him. So, you know, you look at their roster. They got Zach Allen. They got Corey Peters. They got Chandler Jones. They got a pretty good defense. They were 8-8. So I just think that with them getting J.J. Watt, it just made this Arizona Cardinals team better, not by getting more sacks, but in a leadership role.
What do you think about the Titans and the fact that they didn't get J.J.?
I mean, I agree with you 100%. I don't think that they really wanted him. I mean, I know they were in the mix of signing him because they have connections with Mike Vrabel. But at the end of the day, if they really, really wanted him, they would have figured out a way to try to keep him. You know, I mean, it's just a weird business, a crazy business, because you think that that J.J. Watt is a good fit for the Titans because Mike Vrabel is familiar with J.J. Watt and J.J. Watt is familiar with Mike Vrabel. So it looks like a good fit. It looked like it would have worked. But at the end of the day, I think that J.J. Watt did what was best for him and best for his family.
So I look at I don't think the Titans ever had any interest in that kind of money for him. You know, I mean, I think that I don't think that they feel like they can take that kind of shot. There's got to be a bigger plan here in place. We know they've released Adam Humphries last week. More cuts are coming to kind of get that cap number down so that they can go sign some guys in free agency. And Chris Sanders, I wonder if this were a whole pie, if building the team were a whole pie, and I know you've been on the other side of it where you were a guy who was taking from the pie in that aspect, how much of your focus on building the team would be on defense and how bad they were last year and improving it, and how much of your focus would be on keeping the offense together for what they did last year?
Yeah, I mean, it is. They have to keep that defense, I mean, that offense together. I know me and you go back and forth about, you know, not keeping Corey Davis or keeping Corey Davis, but you don't want to start juggling things. You don't want to start juggling players juggling offensive line and, you know, trying to insert different players just because he's a big name. He's got to be a good fit for the offense. And what the offense did last year with A.J. Brown and Henry and Tannehill and that offensive line and getting Henry 2,000 yards, I mean, you just want to keep these guys together, because if you keep these guys together, they can make another run, you know, for the Super Bowl. I mean, if you look at the teams that have been successful, you got Kansas City. The reason why Kansas City is so successful is they keep their guys together. And I think if the Tennessee Titans keep their guys together on offense, sign Corey Davis, I don't know what they're going to do with Jonnu Smith, but if they can figure out a way to keep them, then, man, all they need to do is get this defensive this defensive thing together. Because if you look at the Tennessee Titans, what's the Achilles heel of the Tennessee Titans? It's the defense. And if you look at it in 1999, when we were on our road to the Super Bowl, we had an okay offense, but then our defense was okay. But once we started adding players like Javon Kirksey, Samari Rowe, with the core leaders of our team, it just took our game to a whole different level. And when we won that first game against Cincinnati and we walked in the locker room, we knew that something was different. And I think the Tennessee Titans are in a position to do the exact same thing.
How do you think this will work, not only with guys like Davis and Jonnu Smith taking less money, because they probably will have to. I mean, to be completely honest, especially Davis. Now, they can work it in a way where they give a lot of signing bonus up front and not a big guarantee the first year, and then that lowers the cap number throughout. And maybe that's the route Robinson goes. I don't know. But I think you're going to see a lot of guys that are currently on the team asked to take a pay cut, a straight-up pay cut. Yeah. And Corey Curtis, you know, said earlier last week, he said, hey, guys don't voluntarily take pay cuts. How much do you think, you know, the established players on the offense that have contracts will be willing to do to keep this team together or to give themselves a real shot at winning a title?
You know, that's a good question, Jared. I mean, it all depends on how the player feels. I mean, if you look at, especially with Corey Davis, do you think that Corey Davis' feelings was hurt because they opt out of his fifth year? Does he have that in the back of his mind? Does he have it in the back of his mind that they really didn't want me, but all of a sudden I have a great year and now they want to keep me? So those are the questions that he has asked for himself. Do I want to be here? Do I want to be a part of Tannehill's offense? Do I want to be a part of Henry's offense? Do I want to be a part of the success that we had this year? So the ball's in Corey Davis's hands. The ball's in Jonnu's hands. If they want to go and take a pay cut. Because I went through this situation. I went through it with Floyd Reese, and Floyd Reese called me to the office. He said, Chris, you know, I need to get under the salary cap. What do you want to do? See, my purpose was winning the Super Bowl. My purpose was wanting to win. My purpose was wanting to be a part of something special. And that's where I had to weigh it in. And that's exactly what Corey Davis and Jonnu, they're going to be asked to take less money. And if your mind is making a whole bunch of money as opposed to winning championships, then you have to do what's best for you. But if you're looking at this offense and you're looking at this team and you're saying, okay, you know what? If you give me a decent amount of signing bonus and you make my first year okay, and then the next year it gets bigger and I can earn it in incentives, then now it benefits the player and also it benefits the organization.
Chris Sanders is our guest. Chris, if there was one guy outside the organization the Titans had to go get, you know, the free agent type, draft kind of guy, even just give me the kind of position that's outside of the organization, that is not something where if the guys currently on the roster get better, if there was one thing out there they could add right now, what would it be?
You know, we said it all year. We said this the last 3 years. We need an edge rusher. We need a guy that attacks the quarterback. I mean, we thought we were going to get that with Clowney. We thought we were going to get it with Beasley. But we didn't. We need a guy. We can't keep saying, okay, we're going to draft a guy and we're going to work with potential and say, okay, we're going to develop. And we don't have time for that. If you just get an edge rusher, and I like the guy from Penn State, his name is Jason Owey. I can't really pronounce his name. Jason Owey. If you get a guy like that, this has a freakish nature. He's real long and he has the potential to make some plays and he can be an impact player. I think the Tennessee Titans are just a couple of players away, but he's got to be an impact player. We can't say, okay, we're going to bring him in development. We're going to bring him in and just say, okay, we hope he plays the fifth game. No, he's got to come in and play right away. We need an impact edge rusher immediately. And if we get that and just keep adding different pieces to this defense, we already got the offense and we add pieces to this defense. I'm telling you, Jared, where they're a couple of players away from being in that Super Bowl.
Chris, how do you feel about me looking at J.J. Watt? Guy's made a ton of money, both on the field and off the field. And he gets released, and people are talking about winning a championship. And then he goes and signs with the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, I'm not sitting here saying that, you know, as I've said many times, Chris, I'm not going to count another man's money. And I am sure when you were in the NFL, you'd see some guys, you know, sign for a little bit of money and go all of a sudden, next thing you know, you see the car they're pulling into the lot and you're thinking, what are you doing? You know, I'm sure you went through those times in your life where someone would come up to you and go, Chris, this thing I just invested in is just, oh, this is the bee's knees. And you know, it goes totally haywire. I'm sure you have seen everything you can see from that regard. But there's a part of me that thinks, like the Arizona Cardinals, I mean, this team is not competing for a title, even with him on it. As a former player who has made money in their life and who has done this and who does know the personal side of choosing money and winning and everything else, what do you think of JJ signing with Arizona?
You know, I'm not going to disrespect his character because I don't know his character, but I mean, I agree with you 100%. I mean, if you look at the Arizona Cardinals, you look at the Tennessee Titans. I think the Tennessee Titans are overall are a better team, are closer to the Super Bowl than the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals have some good weapons on offense. They have Kyler Murray. They have Kenyon Drake. They have DeAndre Hopkins. They have Larry Fitzgerald that's probably going to retire. I don't know what he's doing. They have a solid offense. But if you look at their defense is okay. They run a 3-4 defense that where they ran it the Houston Texans. So, you know, it all boils down to what makes a person tick. In me, in my instant, what makes me tick is I want to win championships. I want to win Super Bowls. I want to be the best that I can be. Some people think different. Some people want more money. Some people want more fame. And I think I'm not saying this is what's happening now. I just think that when somebody's giving you $10 million and somebody's giving you $15 million, I think $15 million is going to sway more than $10 million as opposed to just wanting to win the championship. That's just my opinion.
But even if you've made all the money, even if, I mean, you've never won a title, yeah. You've never really come close to winning a title.
Jared, I agree with you. If I was in his position, and I'm just going to lay it out on the line. If I was in his position, there's no way in double hockey sticks I would go to Arizona. The reason why is because they're not a team that's primed to make a run for the Super Bowl. The team that I would go to, And I'm not just saying this because I'm being biased or I'm a Tennessee Titans fan or I'm a Mike Vrabel fan. I'm going to a team that says, you know what? We got a great chance. We got a great offense. We got a great quarterback. We got a 2,000-yard rusher. We got a solid offensive line. We're one or two players away from defense. That's the doggone team that I want to go to. That's just my mindset. I'm not saying his mindset is bad by him thinking of taking 15, 10, or getting $15 million a year. I'm not saying he's a bad person. But as for me, man, I already made about 70 or 80 million. My mind's already made up. I'm going to a team that has the potential to make that run.
Yeah. Chris Sanders, our guest. Last thing for you, Chris. Woo! And TD, I asked TD the same question, and he shot it down. And I understand why, and I'm not saying he's wrong. But there's going to be five quarterbacks. All these mock drafts have five quarterbacks going in the top 10. And I don't know. I couldn't tell you the first thing about Trey Lance. I have no idea. But let's just say there's five quarterbacks or six quarterbacks or whatever. You're the Titans. You're sitting at 22. And you've done all your homework on all the positions. And you just love Mac Jones from Alabama. Or you love Kyle Trask from Florida. Or you love one of these guys the same way the Ravens loved Lamar Jackson when nobody else wanted him in the first round. The Ravens loved Lamar Jackson, and even though they had a starting quarterback, they drafted Lamar Jackson, and 2 years later, he's league MVP. Mm-hmm. If you're sitting there at 22, do you consider it?
Absolutely not. No way. Come on. If he's sitting there, those quarterbacks, if one of those good quarterbacks, I would not take him. Because there's still going to be some quarterbacks that can back up Tannehill. Our issue is not quarterback. Our issue is a pass rusher. And we got to get a guy at that 22nd position. If they get a quarterback and he's sitting there, you don't think the fans are going to be upset and our struggle is not on offense, our struggle is on defense? So, heck no. I would absolutely not. I don't care if Trevor Lawrence fell to 22, I wouldn't get it. It's because we don't need a quarterback. We need an impact player. Because, number one, if they do get a quarterback, he's not going to play right away. He's going to play maybe 2 or 3 years down the road because Tannehill's playing hot. We have to get a player at 22 that comes in the wreck shop. Go ahead.
But what if it's like Aaron Rodgers falling in 05 and Green Bay had Favre, but they took him, and I'd say that it's worked out for Green Bay.
Yeah. Yeah, but that was kind of a different situation because right now is our quarterback position is really solid right now. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. That's a position that we don't have to discuss really. Because if you look at the before Tannehill got there, every year was talking about we got to get a quarterback. The last 2 years, we haven't having to say that. So now we can focus on other areas. And I understand what you're saying and I respect what you're saying, but if we get a quarterback right there, he's not going to play right away. He's going to play maybe 2 or 3 years down the road, and we don't need that. We have a league that wants to win now. And if you go and get a quarterback and have him sit, you're just having him waste his talent, as opposed to you drafting a guy, an edge rusher, or somebody to come in to be impact player. You're just losing the pick, as opposed to having an impact player come in and play right away.
Yeah. Chris Sanders, former Titans receiver. As always, Chris, we appreciate you. We'll talk next week.
Appreciate you, man.
Yep. Chris Sanders joining us on the program. I'm not saying they should go quarterback in the first round. I'm just saying I wouldn't rule it out if the guy falls to you. I would just say I'm not ruling it out. Hey, tune in to Robbie and Rex Road every weekday morning at 8:45 when the Preds have a weekday game this season for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click. And you can win a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Your next chance to participate is tomorrow morning. Speaking of the Preds, I have a Preds thought. After they won two in a row over the weekend, four of their last five, and remember on Friday after the Detroit loss, I said, I'm not feeling it. Have I changed my mind? We'll discuss. Stillman and Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Here is Yossi up the left wing, tipped by Forsberg. Now Forsberg, with 7 seconds to go, exits the zone. A backhanded pass, tipped, comes over for Halla. 2 seconds to go, and the pass comes out to center. The Predators are going to win this one by a 3-1 tally.
I'd say it was a few games back. You know, we really talked about certain things and did some things in practice. And I think when you have the opportunity to win games, certainly I think your confidence and your puck decisions get better. But before that, before you get those wins, you have to do things that are going to give you the ability to find ways to win. So I think the players have worked hard at certain things, our puck possession game, our puck plays, decision making. We spent a lot of time in practice and things of that nature. And now that we're finding some results, I think it always helps grow confidence.
John Hines, Predators win two in a row this weekend. Both over Columbus. By the way, they have owned Columbus. They have, what were they, 10-11 right now? 10-11-0. They won five games against Columbus. So, I mean, when I came into the year and I said, hey, own up against Detroit, own up against Chicago, go 500 against the top teams and, you know, work your way around, whatever. Somehow they've owned. They haven't been able to own Detroit, but they've owned Columbus. So I am going to be honest. Last year, everybody loves this, right? When I say something about the Predators and I say, you know, look, they're not going to beat the Chicago Blackhawks if they play them in the first round. And then they play the Chicago Blackhawks in the first round and they sweep them. And everybody loves to go, what do you think now, Stillman? Where? And then last year in January, I said, forget this team. They are done. They are out. I am over it. See ya. Goodbye. And then they won a couple of games in a row. What do you think now, Stillman? Where? So on Friday, I said all last week, I got to go 4-0. They said, hey, we got to get focused. We think we can do it. Pekka said it. David Poile said it. You know, hey, we think we can dig ourselves out of this hole. We believe in ourselves. And I said, okay, you got to go 4-0. And then they lost to Detroit on Thursday. And on Friday, I said, hey, if I own this team, I'd be thinking about my next moves. I'd be thinking long term. I'd be thinking changing out the general manager at the end of the year. How do I go about doing that? Who do I look at? Those would be the thoughts going through my head if I owned the team. So instead of going 4-0, they went 3-1, and they've won four of their last five. Ian, not to put you on the spot here, but do you think I have changed my mind after all of the things I said on Friday when they lost to Detroit?
I'm going to lean towards no.
You would be correct. And I thought, I mean, for about a tenth of a second, I thought about it. First of all, I don't think Columbus is very good. In fact, I think they are very bad. I went to the game on Saturday. I watched the game on Sunday. Which, by the way, it should be noted the cardboard cutout version of me had better seats than the regular me on Sunday. Or on Saturday. But I go to the game, and I'm watching them play. And, I mean, the Predators should have won on Saturday. It's a lot easier to tell when you're in person at the game. I don't know how hockey has this effect. Everybody will tell you going to the game is better than watching on TV. But it's just so much clearer when you're there. The Predators should have won that game 5-1. I mean, they dominated Columbus. And they still only won 2-1. And I don't know what it is about the Predators. Everybody can score in an empty net against the Predators. Predators can't score in an empty net against anybody else. But I'm digressing. I can't grade on a curve. I can't look at it. If I owned the team, I can't look at it and say, okay, well, I told you you needed to go 4-0, but you tried really hard and you went 3-1, so I'm going to give you a passing grade anyways. I can't say that. I can't do that. I have to be realistic. The worst thing in the world that could happen to this team is the state of purgatory. Now, we're going to learn really quickly if the Predators have actually turned a corner or if the Predators are actually going to be able to compete with these big boys, or we're going to learn really quickly. And here's why we're going to learn. Because they play Carolina tomorrow. They play Tampa later this month, I believe. They play Florida. I mean, they are playing the big daddies. And if you can beat the big daddies, and if you go, as I said, you know, when I was talking about needing 4 in a row, if they did something like 9 out of 10 and they were beating Tampa and they were beating Carolina, now you've proven to me that you can play. But they haven't done that. They've beaten Columbus a bunch and they've beaten Detroit once. But the worst thing that could happen to this team is for them to go out there and win just enough games to keep everybody focused in on the possibility of them turning it around, of them being the St. Louis Blues of 2019, a team that was at the bottom of the league midway through the season and all of a sudden won a Stanley Cup. If they can convince you that there's even a speck of hope, I have to believe that the general manager who's on the hot seat, who everybody is grumbling about, will convince himself that, hey, this team can still win. That the players will convince the team, hey, we can still win. Don't trade Matthias Ekholm, who, by the way, is number one on Pierre LeBrun's trade target board. Don't trade Matthias Ekholm because we still got a shot. And to me, that is the worst thing that can happen to you is you make a run at it. You find your way in at the very last second, you squeak in, and you get blasted in 4 games by Tampa Bay. Or you think you've got a shot for it, you don't sell all of your assets, you half sell, half don't, and then you don't even come really close to making the playoffs. That 2-week period where you beat up on Columbus makes you feel good about your game, makes you feel good about your team, but in reality, it's still the same team we saw in Detroit on Thursday night that looked lifeless on offense. I feel like I can't grade on the curve. I can't bend the goalpost to fit what would make us all feel good. Because it would be nice to say, hey, you know what? Maybe the Predators aren't bad. Maybe we were wrong on Friday. Here we are on Monday. I can't go there. I can't do it. If I owned the team, I don't think I'd be allowed. I don't think I would allow myself to do this. I don't think I would allow myself to look at this team and say, maybe I can see it. The crazy thing about life is that when you want to believe something, there's a pretty good chance that you're going to be able to convince yourself of that thing. I saw a lot of stuff over the weekend. Not going to say where I saw it, but I saw a lot of stuff over the weekend where people have literally convinced themselves that they were right and everybody else was wrong. People getting standing ovations about how I was right and everybody was wrong when there's no proof of that. You can convince yourself. That's what I love about sports, is we got a scoreboard. You can convince yourself. It's like what I said about the Arizona Cardinals earlier today. People on television tomorrow are going to try to convince you that the Arizona Cardinals are not a bad team. They're a bad team. JJ went there for the money. JJ, I think, just posted a picture on Twitter of him flying on the owner's plane out to Arizona, he and his wife. JJ's not going out there to win a ring because that team can't win a ring. That team is not good enough to win a ring. But you can convince yourself of certain things. I am not going to let myself be convinced that the Predators have turned it around, are good enough to compete at the level that we demand they compete at, that we know that this organization, when things are going right, we know they're capable of competing at. I'm not going to bend my expectations or bend the goalpost to fit it, because ultimately they've got to do and they've got to discover what is best for the team. And I can't let a weekend where they should have won 5-0 and they should have won 5-1 in back-to-back nights, and they didn't win, you know, they didn't dominate at that level. But I can't let those two wins just totally throw me off of what I thought the course of the team was. Now, they win a bunch. Did they win a bunch? Here, if they go win 10 in a row, okay, now we can talk. If they go win, you know, 9 out of 10, okay. If we look up at the standings one day and they're in second place, we can talk. But I can't. I know 4 out of 5 sounds good, and it's... It definitely looks a lot better with Ekholm in the lineup. It looks a lot better with Johansson in the lineup. I can't do it. I cannot do it. I can't change what I thought, what I felt on Friday, because I feel the same way I felt on Friday. 615-737-1025. Again, our phone lines are down, so use the text line. 615-737-1025. Does losing out on J.J. Watt, which the Titans did, as much as we can laugh at J.J., does losing out on him change your draft strategy at all? Should it? Plus, there's a free agent Titan fans think, hey, maybe the Titans should take a look at that. I just certainly do not think will fit. We'll get to that coming up next. Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.